Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the third series of the Burning Issue podcast. This podcast looks at how the UK's waste management has evolved from mainly landfilling to mainly energy recovery and investigates what happens next. My name is Luke Walsh, and I have for the past decade been the editor of the news website endswasteandbioenergy.com. Over that time, I've met many great characters, one of which is Dan Cook, who I first met when he was working for energy from waste giant Viridor. Dan now works for Cornwall Council and is also the president of professional membership organisation, the Chartered Institution of Wastes Management, better known as CIWM. And, just like how I've mentioned in the past on this podcast, how working as a student on bin lorries dumping untreated waste in an Essex landfill changed my outlook, Dan also experienced the coalface as a student and instead of a career in the media, went into the waste sector himself. So let's hear what he has to say. Hello, Dan, and thank you very much for joining me.
Hi, Luke. Thanks for inviting me.
We first met pre-pandemic in Bilbao at an event for CWEP, which seems like 100 years ago now, where we were talking about social media. But a lot's changed since then. How do you think social media sits in the waste management sector now?
Well, you're right. I mean, things have come on apace, and that does seem an age ago. Social media is now one of the, if not the default channel for our sector and others to communicate by. And we've seen lots of behaviour change. My presidential report for CIWM this year is all about showcasing our sector. And we've deliberately gone digital with the report. And we've deliberately produced lots of social media tiles to share the content, etc. So it's almost all of our default mechanism, isn't it, for communicating across our sector and beyond.
Yeah, I think it's all encompassing now. We'll talk a bit more about CIWM in a minute, but obviously you're very much associated with Viridor, a business where you spent about two decades as it moved from landfilling in the late 90s to energy recovery now. Sorry if that makes you feel old. What was it like seeing that firsthand?
They were heady times. I mean, developing a company from a regional player to one of the top three businesses in terms of turnover in the sector was quite a journey. It's important to say Viridor wasn't just a move from landfill to energy from waste, but we became one of the leading recycling companies in the UK. So we pioneered and invested in MRF technology, that's material recycling facilities, MBT, IVC, that's in-vessel composting, anaerobic digestion, a whole range of things, and led the way, as well as a host of other R&D work, waste prevention work with customers, etc. So it was about that balanced and integrated approach. And it was a lot of development in a short space of time, looking back at it.
You talk about the development there. On this podcast, we're most concerned with the EFW elements. But other guests on the podcast have talked about maybe the UK's near its end of energy recovery capacity. Do you think that's the case?
I don't think it's the case. Well, in terms of what have we got at the moment, we've got about 15 million tonnes of energy from waste capacity. There's another 3 to 5 on its way. If you look in the news, there's a couple of new facilities being proposed, one in the Midlands in Walsall, one up in Scotland at Bin Farm in Perth and Kinross. I think we will reach a capacity over the next few years, without a doubt. There might be a couple of gaps for merchant plants to come in. And then it's all about getting the balance, because the next big step that will impact that particular part of the sector is, of course, emissions trading scheme and the impact that will have. And therefore, where do we go from there? How do we make the currently largely renewable energy that these plants kick out, how do we make a far greater proportion of that renewable and get the plastics out, get the fossil fuels out? There's a whole range of things that come from that. But capacity, are we there yet? No, not quite. Are we close to it? Probably in the next few years.
I think that's pretty much what other people have said as well. I think we're getting close to it. But I wanted to ask you now, as the president of CIWM, you've made a call to boost recycling and support energy recovery. But maybe people who aren't in the waste sector don't think those two things can go hand in hand. But can they?
I think they have to. It's all about balance. Our sector, the waste and resources and recycling sector, is all about providing that balanced approach for materials and material stewardship across the board. And therefore, yes, we all want more recycling, and we can hopefully talk about some of the important reports that have come out from the Public Accounts Committee, the Infrastructure Commission, late last year, as to what is needed to take us on to the next step. And we've got a really important package of policy designed to kick on and get recycling levels ever higher, get resource efficiency ever higher. But you still, in reality, have millions of tons of material that is either very difficult or environmentally and economically unviable to recycle. That has to find a home, and energy from waste, hopefully with carbon capture and storage going forwards and utilisation, will provide part of that balance. So it is all about the getting the balance right. Yeah, we've got to kick on. Yeah, we've got to be progressive, but we've also got to recognise the realities, and we can introduce things like waste crime and how we need to approach those as well, because there are large volumes currently unmanaged or unstewarded in the way we want to see them. And these are important challenges, and they're not going away.
It's really interesting that you bring onto the policy element there, because the policy, or well, should I say the lack of it in the UK, has been really frustrating. What do you think of the current government in the terms of delays to the key policies we've had? You've touched on it a bit there, but it's an interesting topic, isn't it?
So let's be fair and balanced about this. Yes, the delays have been really frustrating for all of us working in and around the sector. But we have to give them credit in terms of the recycling and resources and waste strategy for England and its equivalents in Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland is a progressive package. And the progressive package of policies have emerged from that. And it's a really good package. I describe it as a world-class package of regulation. When you look at what's coming, EPR, extended producer responsibility, simpler recycling, plastics tax, carrier brokers, dealers regulations, waste data tracking, that's a pretty progressive policy. And if those are implemented, and as the Public Accounts Committee said, they should be implemented in an aligned and integrated manner, that adds up to real step changes, massive step changes in the way we manage our resources in the UK. And therefore, we are now seeing progress. We are now seeing them being implemented. We've seen the new managing director of the EPR announced early this year. And therefore, these things are now happening. And that's pretty encouraging. So yes, frustrating delays were probably inevitable. There have been massive challenges for government in other areas. But we have to acknowledge that these things are now happening. And that's a really welcome move.
I think that's really good, because I think last year when I was speaking to people on this podcast, they were a lot more negative. And I think you've just been really positive there. So I think this is looking really good for 2024. And you did mention recycling there. And I was at a conference last year. I heard a speaker say that the UK was being gaslighted by this full seven bin scenario that won't ever happen. But are we ever likely to see more consistent collections nationwide?
We don't call them consistent collections anymore. We call it simpler recycling, don't we? But it's the same thing. And yes, despite a few possible political shenanigans, we are seeing that being implemented now. And therefore, the consistent collections coming in first for food waste and then the range of other materials for next year, we will see massive improvements from that. It should all be about making it easy and convenient for people to recycle at home and at work. And there is a good package of measures. So there are some good guidelines now being implemented that local authorities can work with their providers to put in place that should make it easier for all of us to put the right stuff in the right bin and not be confused if you live across the street from a different regime. So these things are happening now, and they have to happen, because we have reached a, you know, something of a stalemate in recycling levels over the last few years. And we've got to kick on if we're going to get anywhere near the 65% that we're aiming at and beyond. So it's good. It is happening.
I agree with you. We've got to try and make it simpler for everyone. CIWM has raised concerns over the recyclability of waste streams such as films and flexibles. These need to go to energy recovery, don't they?
You could argue that, but there have been and are some really interesting trials going on with films and flexibles. So, for example, Suez, hats off to Suez. They've been working with a range of local authorities on a really fairly comprehensive trial to see how the collection and treatment and recycling of films and flexibles might work. But they are difficult. And at the moment, collecting such flimsy materials spread over such a huge area on paper looks logistically a daft thing to do, and I can't see how the economics and environmental benefits stack up all the time. There is some interesting work going on also, and this is one of the pet subjects of mine, in terms of replacement. Now, it's really difficult because the pack tech industry, the packaging technology industry, rely on using petrochemical-derived plastics and ever thinner, ever stronger, ever new combinations of it. But there are some interesting replacement materials coming down the track. And if we can make the things that provide the same function out of renewable, i.e. plant-based sources rather than fossil fuels, then it almost doesn't matter whether you recycle those, compost those, or derive energy from them, because it's renewable and biogenic material. So big challenge at the moment, no obvious answers, but again, consistent collection, simpler recycling will mean it's easier for people to recycle them in the meantime, and we might see markets emerge and technologies emerge. Complex area, but it's the day-to-day stuff that people notice, and people want to recycle this stuff, so we've got to go down that route and explore it.
Yeah, if you can stop people putting it in the black bag, that's the way forward, isn't it? Talking about another element of policy, there's been calls for bans on waste exports from the UK, which went up last year. Well, I can see an argument for it. Is that protectionism? What's CIWM's position on it?
Well, so in general, our starting point is that we need to do everything we can for resource security here in the UK, and we need all the energy and all the recycling and resources that we can process sensibly in the UK to be done so. Proximity principle applies. However, we are in a global market, whether that's for waste material, whether it's for recyclate, whether it's for consumer goods or any other product, and therefore export of waste under the right licensing conditions and done to the right standards is a arguably natural thing for local stroke European markets to happen. There is some interesting stuff happening with some of the energy plants where some of this material goes at the moment, and we talked earlier about the capacity of energy from waste in the UK. There is obviously still something of a shortfall if export makes economic sense. If it's done to the right standards, is it a major issue? No, because I think the volumes and the tonnages are pretty low, will continue over time, and the long-term trend is that they'll go down, and as capacity in the UK reaches the right level, then I think it'll be a minor issue.
Last bit you mentioned there, the capacity in the UK reaching the right level. So we've seen moratoriums come in Wales and Scotland. Are we moving to a stage where England and maybe not Northern Ireland for a while, but maybe in England we could move to the same?
I would be surprised if we need it. I think it's unlikely the market will find a balance. And don't underestimate, we need all the energy in the UK that we can get. Energy from waste provides currently largely renewable, and as we move the plastics out and as the mechanisms come for that, then it will increasingly be a source of renewable energy. So as we said, there's probably enough on its way, 15 million, another 5 million, up to 5 million to come in construction or, you know, close to financial close or planned. The next steps will be the interesting ones, because I think ETS emissions trading scheme and the demand for the mix of carbon capture, utilization and storage, and the mix with increased recycling, I think the market will find its own level. And I think government probably knows that.
I wanted to ask you about the UK ETS, because obviously EFW in the UK is coming in 2028. So it's going to create a push towards carbon capture usage and storage. How do you think that will change the market? Because obviously everyone's going to want to invest in it, aren't they?
Yes, they are going to have to. And our sector and the operators of the energy plants and the contracted partners are now looking at how does this happen. It's a really short window for such a big change to happen to implement this stuff and get it right. And ESA, the Environmental Services Association, CIWM and others are all working hard now with government to help government with the measured implementation and avoid some of the unintended consequences or the risks that might come. But it's all about, yeah, we're looking at issues around protocols. How do you measure carbon accurately? Where do you do that? Is it the top of the stack? Is it the bottom of the stack? Is it somewhere else in the plant or the waste stream? The timings, how do we incentivize alternatives? That's the really interesting bit. And the National Infrastructure Commission report that came out last year picked up on that. If you're going to divert some of this material through a mechanism like ETS, divert the fossil fuels or enable carbon capture as storage, where do those materials go? Because at the moment, there isn't the infrastructure there to take it. So how do we incentivize that? And of course, there is an additional cost that will be passed through to customers, to local authorities, and therefore to the waste producers. How do we make all that stack up and make it come in a measured way so it's not a shock to the system at any point? So it's a big step, and it's a really important thing for the sector, a challenge that the sector is stepping up to with government and others. So it's arguably as big a game changer as the landfill tax was 30 years ago.
As big a game changer as the landfill tax, Hill. It's going to be an interesting time over the next 4 years. You did mention there liaising with the government. Now, we're well into 2024 now. There will be an election this year, and there's a fair chance of a change in government at this moment. So how do you deal with this government when you could be dealing with another one in 6 months' time?
So, A, we can't make any assumptions. Everybody will have a view on what the outcome is going to be. But in the meantime, the current package of regulation that's going through has reached the point where you would hope whatever government comes in or stays in, they will take that in their stride and make no major changes. We think, and there are a lot in the sector that think, there are substantial opportunities for any new government, whatever colour, to look at the contribution our sector can play in terms of carbon reduction, in terms of resource efficiency, etc., and work more closely with us to make sure this stuff is implemented in an integrated fashion, and then look at how we can continue the drive towards greater recycling, greater resource efficiency and carbon reduction, because that is the challenge of our age. We know that. That's not going to go away. There are arguments for how do governments, or how does the new government, really take advantage of the job opportunities, the upskilling opportunities that a carbon reduced and energy efficient, renewable based economy can deliver. We've got a massive part to play on that with the circular economy driving towards it.
I wanted to ask you about the planning system. It's hard work for the waste sector, regardless of the EFW. I think the cross waste, but everyone produces waste, but no one wants to live near where it's processed. So should the system be simplified for carbon capture, say, as planning wrangles could delay the introduction of this technology?
My experience over working for, you know, decades in the recycling and waste sector is, like many other sectors, we always think we're a special case. But then when you talk to other sectors, and housing is another massive challenge that our country faces at the moment, it's pretty similar. Everybody argues for a special case to be made to deliver vital stuff that we know we all need. The planning system, again, current government has tried to implement and continues to implement changes to make it more effective, make it more able to deliver the infrastructure, whether it's housing, whether it's carbon capture technology, whether it's recycling facilities. We know this stuff. A good planning system, the UK's planning system, is in theory a good system. It does have holdups, and largely that's down to people and resources. But I think in a democratic system, having a democratic planning regime is pretty much okay. And you've got to really have a strong case to argue for big exemptions to get around that. And I think, again, government probably knows that. And I think local people prioritise and know the challenge of climate change and therefore carbon capture technologies, the jobs it brings, supply chain opportunities it brings. We can sell that in a positive manner, as with all the facilities that we've delivered over the last decade or three.
Hopefully. Now, you mentioned you've been in the waste sector for decades. Now, me and you find it interesting, but perhaps it's not the sexiest career for younger people out there. What do we do to try and get people into it? Do you have any concerns about the next generation of people coming into the waste sector?
Probably we all have concerns. We need young, sharp brains. We need the right skills coming into the sector, and we need that blend of experience as well as fresh faces. I think, and looking at from a CIWM perspective, we've got our professional development network, for example. We have our training and standards team, learning and development. And it's absolutely inspiring to see what some of the next generation coming into our sector think about it, what they can offer, and the way they see the world. So Gen Z see things very differently from an old hack like myself, and that's brilliant because they will bring new perspectives. We want all the diversity we can get in our sector. We need fresh thinking, fresh perspectives. And there are, I think it's recognised in younger generations that there are many opportunities that this sector can provide. CIWM, for example, has just made a big investment in the Circular Economy Institute, the Circular Economy Club. And when you start talking about what is the circular economy, what can we do to deliver greater recycling, address climate change, the thing that concerns generation after generation and the new generations especially, they see that they can make a contribution and that there are great opportunities. So I think CIWM training, CIWM mentoring shows that there are good numbers of people coming in. There is a massive skills gap that we still need to work on. But again, I'm an optimist. I think the opportunities will be attractive to whatever generation.
I like optimism, definitely. We did talk about the building of energy recovery plants and that maybe we're getting near the end of that. And you've mentioned the circular economy and emerging technologies. What should companies be investing in developing now?
Well, there's the question. And if I knew the exact answer, I'd probably be a rich man and we wouldn't be sitting here talking, Luke. But we know that we need more and better recycling technologies and infrastructure. if we are going to move from our current stagnated recycling rate of whatever waste stream you look at, municipal, commercial, industrial, and some of the specialist streams, we know new technology, data, AI has a massive role to play in making it more efficient with the stuff once we've collected it, once we've pointed it in the right direction. So technology, recycling infrastructure. There are views in the sector about chemical recycling, and there are some really encouraging signs that that may well have a role to play going forward. And likewise, the stuff that's already out there, making energy recovery plants, for example, more efficient. How do we tap them into the grid and make vehicle charging points a natural part of facilities like that, for example? You've mentioned carbon capture and storage. Well, as far as I'm aware, looking at the market, and I'm not an expert, but some of the technology and solutions there are fairly rudimentary. So there are massive investment opportunities. R&D is always difficult, but again, government, the UKRI, etc., they're doing some great stuff in incentivizing looking at where there are investment opportunities. Research is leading us to those sorts of things. So I guess that's just a flavor for it.
That's been a fascinating flavor of everything. And we've kind of got to the end there. So the final question I ask everyone that comes on The Burning Issue is, what's the question I should have asked you and how would you have answered it?
So I think one thing that we haven't done justice to in this conversation is probably standards in our industry. And that includes standards of and enforcement of existing policy and regulation. Waste crime is, again, something I've been involved with, working with government and police, the Joint Unit on Waste Crime, for over the past few years, and is a massively important area because we talk about all this progressive stuff. We talk about wanting to drive towards a circular economy, but the fact of the matter is, at the moment, it costs our economy the best part of £1 billion is lost every year to waste that is leaking out of the system and being managed by criminals, either on a big organized scale or on a fly tipping down the corner scale. So waste crime, and how do we address it? How do we continue to squeeze and make sure the benefits, and it's not making people miserable in local environments, detrimental to local environment and local economies? How do we address that? And standards across the piece, health and safety standards, professional standards, skills, etc. Those are some of the questions. So you asked me what one question, there's probably three or four there, Luke, but these are issues close to my heart and that CIWM and the rest of the sector is really concerned with.
No, I agree with you. You still see press reports, don't you, of people living near landfills that have odours and are poorly managed. And I can't believe we're still having that in this day and age.
That's it. We are in a sector that touches, whether in a positive way or a negative way, every single individual and every single business across the UK. That's why we should be at the heart of the circular economy. That's why standards, coming back to your question, are so important, because whatever the facility, rudimentary or as progressive as you like, they've got to be operated to the right standard and make people's lives better, not worse.
Dan, I think that is a great place to end it. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Luke. It's been a pleasure. Cheers.
All that's left for me to say is thank you for listening. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, please do share it with your networks. That can be either in real life or online. It's all really appreciated. And if you want to learn more about waste policy and energy recovery, go to the news website endswasteandbioenergy.com, where you can sign up for our free newsletters or even take out a subscription if you want to. Goodbye.